Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.
Yes, indeed, we are powered by the SID Media. This is the Adventist World Radio. We do have our guest on the line, Pastor Max, who is going to be talking to us once again. We continue with the subject, the power of prayer. Pastor, good afternoon to you.
Good afternoon, Brother Zama. Are you well this afternoon?
Very well, thank you, Pastor. How are you doing?
By the grace of God, it is well with my soul.
Oh, yes. Great to hear that. We love it when we praise God and when we put him at his rightful position. He's our creator and none is like him. Thank you so much for joining us once again. Now, we're talking about and continuing to talk about the power of prayer. And naturally, part of caring for others is praying for them, but sometimes in sharing prayer requests as well. We can actually hurt the very people we want to bless. You know, the issue of prayer and privacy is a growing concern among churches and other religious organizations that disseminate individual prayer requests through prayer lists. We need to pray for Mr. So-so and so. I heard that they might be getting a divorce. So we need to, you know, we need to pray for Mr. So-and-so and so. We heard that their house is being repossessed. How do we keep gossip out of our prayer ministries? I think this is what we need to unearth and talk about today. So, Pastor, what are the considerations for public versus private prayer? When is actually such appropriate?
Thank you for that beautiful question, Brother Zama. We need to understand the purpose and intent. Whenever we are praying, we need to ask ourselves, what is it that we want to achieve? So for private especially, we've got to always be reflective, understand that it's intercessory and it's meditative for other people that we are praying with. So, for instance, I looked at Matthew chapter 6, verse 6, where it says, when you pray, go into your room, close the door and pray to your Father who is unseen. So it's a private session with you and God alone. However, when it comes to public prayer, it's when we actually pray aloud for others, you know. So when we are interceding in a group or we offer praise collectively, that one we can find in the book of Acts chapter 1 verse 14 and also the book of Acts chapter 2 verse 42, where it says believers actually gathered and prayed together. So there is a distinction between those two, like I've explained, but we must understand, we must be relevant. If we are in a public space, like a funeral or, you know, an event, we are allowed to pray aloud there. But if we are by ourselves, then we should pray by ourselves in a private room.
And now, in terms of mentioning, you know, these issues by name, I mean, how do prayer groups navigate issues of privacy, you know, gossip, etc., that may arise as people share their personal issues and concerns within the group?
You know what I usually encourage, Brother Zama? I did a campaign some, I think it was a few months ago, where when we were doing all the prayer requests, I asked people to do them anonymously because I didn't want people to know people's things, because people are prone to be talking, especially when you've written your name on that prayer request or if you raised your hand and you said it out aloud. So people, you know, to avoid and to navigate, to make sure that people are protected and people's secrets, especially home secrets, things that are personal to them are protected. I always encourage that people, let's rather do it anonymously. Write it on a piece of paper. Don't write your name. And also, the people that are going to be reading, you need to choose somebody who's really trustworthy to handle that box. Mm. It mustn't be for everyone. So when you call the prayer warriors, only one person must be busy with the prayer box, and then he will read out all the prayer requests, and then the people can pray, you know, after that. And then we usually burn them. I don't know other people how they practice it, but usually us, after we've done praying, we then burn them. But then we continue praying for the people, and we say, Lord, as we have mentioned, these are the prayer requests that we have mentioned before, so that people's privacy is protected.
I think that's,
and also,
yeah, yeah.
Oh, sorry about that. And I was saying, Brother Zama, another thing is to establish clear guidelines and boundaries. People need to know where not to cross the line,
yes,
so that we protect each other. You know, simple things like to not let people go and peek in the prayer box, things like that. They must just know that, no, there's somebody who's elected for that specific thing, and they are the only ones that can go and open and read the prayer aloud to others.
I think it's important what you're saying, that the people's privacies must be protected at all costs. I mean, we've seen and heard people talking about people's issues that emanated from prayer groups, and you're thinking, what? Are we not ashamed anymore in this generation?
Yes.
I think people are shameless. You hear people talking and gossiping about people's problems.
Yes.
And when you discover, no, this thing is actually coming out of a prayer group. And you're like, what?
Yes.
That's the most sacred space. You would think that things like that, you know, especially if it's shared in the context of pain. Because people, when people ask for prayers, there's pain there, there's sadness, there's sorrow, etc. And, you know, we got to respect those. I just wanted to emphasize that it's quite important, you know, that we respect these spaces. Otherwise, then we should not go to prayer spaces if we're going to be drinking tea. Now, suppose a trust is broken, Muruti, and someone's prayer request becomes gossip fodder. What then? Should the prayer group be suspended or cancelled?
No. Actually, I believe that Brother Zama, hurt people. I don't know if you've heard of that expression.
Yeah.
That, you know, people that are, you know, gaslighting others, people that are projecting their pain, you know, people that are just hurting. And instead of getting help for their traumas, they then, you know, come into the sacred place of gossiping about others. So the first thing that we need to do, we need to move into a place of restoration for everything, step by step, prayerfully and carefully, cautiously, as well. We need to show love to all these people. Find out, where did this thing come from? Mm-hmm. Who was it that ended up, you know, speaking about this thing? Mm-hmm. And then that person, obviously, if they were happy to be sharing such a thing about that person, that means even they need a trauma, they need healing from the trauma that they have gone through as well. So we need to handle it with care. This is why we have, you know, the pastors, we have the deacons, we have the elders, people that are actual leaders that can actually go to the root of the thing, so that preventative measures can be put in place, so that restorative measures can also put in place. Mm-hmm. So we're not going to cancel it. However, I'm just going to read the Bible says in Matthew 18, verse 15, if your brother or your sister sins, and go to them and point out, just the two of you, what had occurred there. You know, I think what makes the situation worse usually is this thing of saying somebody said this about that person, and then that person says that about another person, and then it's just a broken thing, Jay, that moves around, and rumors that are spreading around, hurting other people. So we should not cancel it. If anything, we should try to build trust again. Trust is possible again, but we must do it cautiously. But we must also make sure that the people that are responsible for these things, it's made clear to them that they cannot do that. You know, the fact that they are gaslighting people projecting, it means even they need help as well. So we need to just do everything prayerfully and tactfully as well. So the pastors are there that are going to assist us, deacons and elders and leaders, and church leaders that are going to assist us in this matter.
But very, very important. Thank you so much for that emphasis. I think it's quite important. Now, how do individuals navigate differences in belief or practice within a community prayer setting? Should prayer groups be only made up of people of like faith? I mean, I'm thinking here, here's a group of people, and then as we are praying, we hear that a person is now saying, you know, then they go around and they're bubbling in tongues. So should prayer groups be made of people of like faith, or doesn't matter?
Brother Zama, I think what we need to learn from Christ is how he handled situations.
Yes,
and
yes.
Our Lord and Savior was always relevant at each and every item. Whatever he was doing, it was relevant for that time. Let me give you an example. When you read in the book of John chapter 2, his first miracle there at the wedding,
yeah.
he wasn't preaching when he was there. What did he do? He gave them wine. That is what they needed at that time. All right? So he performed that miracle. And when we go to chapter 3 of the same book, John, we meet Nicodemus. Even he didn't get any other thing except what he actually needed at that time, which was a spiritual need. So he was meeting Nicodemus where Nicodemus was. And also, if you move on, he meets the Samaritan woman, in John chapter 4. Where the Samaritan woman also was looking for someone and Christ came through. And when you move on to chapter 5, there's a man there who's sick and Jesus healed. So what I'm saying is Jesus met people where they were. So we should do the same. We should gauge the situation and look at, okay, what is needed here? Mm-hmm. All right, right now we need communal songs. Let's sing communal songs to include everybody. Let's leave the hymn book beside, and we just sing Ochokoya How, because it's songs that people know and appreciate.
Yeah, yeah,
all right?
Yeah.
That's the person. We are relevant. You see, we are very relevant. Then from there, we move as we are moving chapter by chapter or whatever we are studying a topic for that day. So we will always have time to teach people the Bible. We will always do. But it is not the time now to hammer people and say, no, you are wrong, and point fingers. Yeah, you are wrong.
Yeah,
here.
Yeah,
you are
yeah,
wrong.
Yeah.
There. No. Be relevant and take it a bit by bit and study one topic at a time. So, okay, today we are doing this and making sure that people are moving along with you, and the Holy Spirit will be poured on us as we are, doing these things. So let us be relevant and make sure that we teach in love. That is also very, very key. We must teach everything in love, to point out or to make people feel bad. You are wrong here. No, we should not do that. We should always make sure that even if we don't believe the same, we can still get along. We can still move along. Where we are.
True. I love that. I love that. Very important that we look at Christ and his example and say, what would Christ have done in a situation like this? I mean, he met with those who were deserted, even by society at large, supped with them and spent evenings in their homes. And we should do indeed like he did. Now, Pastor, if you could just maybe wrap up today's consideration of a prayer in terms of private issues and issues that can be talked about publicly, and whichever point that you would want to raise as we summarize today's discussion.
Yeah, I thought about one of my favorite theologians, Spurgeon. Spurgeon says that we don't think about breathing. We don't actually think about it. You just breathe in and out, bring in and out. So is prayer supposed to be in our lives? We've got to make sure that we are in constant communication with our Savior. So meaning to say, we should be careful on how we pray, because this thing of when we are praying in public, there's a danger. Yeah, let me put it that way. There's a danger of you wanting to impress people, to say, I'm praying in public now. I'm going to use eloquent words, bombastic words. Other people don't even understand what those words are. I want to just look like, I know it all. I've got it all. That's what we need to guard against, Brother Zama. Let's make sure that we keep everything simple. Simple. If anything, we should, because there's somebody who may think, oh no, they are always praying in English. That was also another thing that I picked up. It's actually quite okay to pray in vernacular. You can pray in isiZulu if the community at large there is Zulu, or if they are Tswana, you can pray in Setswana, so that we don't paint a picture as if God only understands English. So especially when we are doing public prayers, we should be careful and be mindful of those things.
I also think of a situation where I remember a while ago when this lady was given time to pray, and we stood and we listened And she went on and on and my goodness. What about that, Pastor?
Yeah.
What about
yeah,
that?
I get that. I get that. That we do at women's conferences. We have that for that. That okay, at a women's conference, we're going to be crying. We're going to be praying. There it's allowed. But sometimes when we have a certain time schedule for something, then we need to keep everything short to say, okay, this is what we are, so that we also keep the issue of time. But believe me, like I said, there is a relevance in everything that we do. We must be relevant. So women's ministries, there you are allowed. If you want to cry out to the Lord, there we allow you. No one is even going to stop you because it is relevant for what we are doing there at that time. And you know, us women, we've got a lot of things and we want to talk a lot and we want to do. So we have times for those things.
Pastor, I must thank you so much. Thank you so much for your time. Indeed, it's always a pleasure that we talk to you every afternoon here on the Adventist World Radio this week. Thank you so much. Blessings to you.
Thank you, Brother Zama. God bless. Until tomorrow.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye.
Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.